The last few weeks, we've been discussing or talking about the issues around being led by the Spirit. I want to talk about something today that gets a little bit to the heart of the issue, and that is, how do we navigate our Christian life through a world that is controlled by Satan? John's writings in 1 John, his letter he wrote, he said the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, I don't think John was wrong. I believe he spoke by the Holy Spirit when he said that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. People look at that and say, well, that can't be because God made the world, and so we've talked about that a lot on Wednesday night, where Satan is a problem, and Satan is now warring against us. And so in that combat situation, we as Christians are in the world but not of the world. How do you navigate your Christian life through a world like this when this world system is controlled by Satan, the world system around us? You say, well, I don't really believe it is. Well, where did all the persecution come from? I saw this week online that there are more Christians being persecuted now than there were in the first century, or really than any time in history. So something's going on. Something's going on in the planetary world we call the earth, and something's going on in the minds of people, and something's going on in the supernatural spirit world that causes a warfare against Jesus and his people. He said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. If they persecute me, they'll persecute you. So we get it by the fact that we've been born anew into a different kingdom. Satan lost you as you migrated out of his kingdom. Paul wrote one time that we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And Satan doesn't like to lose, so here we are. So how do we navigate our faith through all of that, our Christian life? We're going to be in the Gospel of John. On the next slide there, you'll see where we're going to be in the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, we see where Jesus made some great promises to us as how he will help us through all of this. In John's Gospel, you'll see up there the passage. The next one, you'll see that the great promises he made to us, number one, he teaches us. The Holy Spirit will teach us. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would teach us. He'll teach us what we need to know. And that's in John chapter 14, verse 26. We'll look at that passage in just a minute. Let me set the stage here. In John chapter 14, Jesus, in the end of 13, beginning of 14, Jesus has been talking to his disciples, and he's been saying, I've got to go away. I'm going away, and when I go away, I'll come back to you, but right now you can't go where I'm going. And they all sort of got upset, and Peter said something about, I'll go with you anywhere. And Peter said, no, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. And of course, everybody was worried and upset, so he says in chapter 14, John 14, verse 1, notice this. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Did they have troubled hearts? He said, don't worry about this. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't get all bent out of shape about this. He said, you believe in me. You believe in God. You believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms or many mansions. And he goes into that dialogue about how they're going to be. He's going to take care of them. And then when he comes to this is still chapter 14, verse 13, or verse 14, he begins to talk about, verse 15, if you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, verse 16, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Why do they need another one? Why do they need another one? Well, they had one. His name's Jesus, right? They could ask him any question. They could ask for healing. They could do, as they travel with him, as they go around with him everywhere, they could talk to him. They could ask him questions. They could say, help me understand this. But now he says, you're going to need another one. How come they're going to need another one? Because he's going away. And he said, I'm going to be with the Father. I'll come back. But he did come back for a short time during the resurrection. But 40 days later, he went back to the Father. So you're going to need some help. You're going to need another counselor. There is a word for counselor, comforter, someone that comes alongside you. It's a Greek word, parakletos. It means somebody you call to your aid. Come help me. Come help me. Have you seen pictures of the flooding recently where I saw one in Texas where a lady's car was almost underwater. And guess what? Somebody called for help, and they got in there and got her out of the car before she died. That's a Greek word that means call somebody to your help. Jesus said, you'll have another one. I'm going to send you another one when I get to heaven. I'm going to send you another counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He'll be with you forever. Well, if he's with us forever, to the end of the age anyway, till we all get to be with Jesus and be resurrected, he's going to be with the disciples forever. What's he going to do? Well, this number one on the screen here says he's going to teach. He's going to teach. Do you know, do you understand, this is hard for sometimes for us to grasp, but the Holy Spirit is teaching us. He is our mentor. You say, I thought Jesus was. Well, he is, but where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. He said, I'm going to make sure you have plenty of comfort. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, he said. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So sometimes it's hard for us to grasp that a being, he's not, the Holy Spirit's not an it, and he's not a cloud, and he's not a dove. He's pictured that way sometimes in the Bible. But he's not a force of nature. He's not an angel. The Holy Spirit is God. He's God's Spirit. And God said, I'll send my Spirit to live inside you. So we know where the Holy Spirit lives. You know where you live. You know where your relatives live, probably. Where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in the church, not in the building. Unless we're all in the building, then he's in the building, because he's in you and he's in me and he's in all of us. He is God dwelling in us. Being God dwelling in us, we're going to have to stretch a little bit today, I guess, and open our hearts to this. But what does he do while he's in me? He teaches me something. Now, how does he do that? He does it like he's doing it right now. He does it through teachers. He does it through the Bible. He does it through your conscience. Has the Spirit ever gotten in your conscience and led you away from something that you shouldn't have been involved in? He's teaching you. So here it says, this is John chapter 14, verse 26. Verse 25, Jesus said, all this I've spoken while with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, or will remind you of everything I have said to you. He said, the Spirit's going to come. What's he going to do? He's going to be teaching you all things. He's going to teach you everything you need to know. He's going to teach you everything you need to know, and he's going to remind you of some of the things Jesus said. You say, well, that was the apostles. I've heard people say that. That was just to the apostles. Well, I beg to differ, and we'll see why in a little bit. But there were many, many people involved in the book of Acts that received things from the Holy Spirit that weren't apostles. And you'll see that in a minute. In fact, Paul wrote one time, and he said, he talked about the Spirit living in us. If you are a child of God, he said in Romans 8, then the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, then you're a child of God. If you're led by the Spirit, then you're a child of God. Is that just to the apostles? No, it isn't just written to the apostles. So when Jesus said this, that the Spirit will teach you, he's talking about the church. How does he do that? Acts chapter 11. I'll give you some example. I'll give you one example of each one of these. But Acts chapter 11, when you come to Acts 11, Acts chapter 10, I'm going to do the quick story here. Acts chapter 10, it's when Peter is confronted by the Holy Spirit in a vision. Do you remember the story? Cornelius, a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, was praying one day, and an angel appeared to Cornelius, this guy, he's not a believer, he's not a Christian, but he's been hanging around a lot of Jewish people. And he picked up hanging around the Jewish synagogue that he ought to give to the poor. So he's given to the poor. And he sees this angel, the Cornelius does, and the angel says, basically, you need to send for this man named Peter because I want you to hear some things. So Cornelius calls in some of his servants, and he said, go find this man Peter. It's about a day's journey, I think. And they go down to find Peter. Meanwhile, Peter's seeing a vision of his own. What happened in the vision? A sheet came down, had all kinds of unclean animals. Jews were not allowed to eat everything. They couldn't eat pork. They couldn't eat catfish. That's sad, isn't it? They couldn't eat catfish. No scales. Couldn't eat anything without scales. octopus, any of that. So the sheet comes down, it's got all these unclean animals in it, and a voice said to Peter, get up, kill and eat. And Peter's horrified. And he says to the voice, he says, oh no, I've never eaten anything unclean. And the voice said, don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. Spirit talking to it. So it happened again. Peter's still not convinced. He sees the sheet again with all the animals in it. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, no, I don't eat anything unclean. The voice said, don't call it unclean if I've called it clean. Third time that happened. About that time, guess what happened? The men from Cornelius showed up, knocked on the door. We want to see Peter. So here come all these Gentiles into the house to see Peter. Peter was probably not used to that. He didn't eat with Gentiles. He didn't fellowship with Gentiles, non-Jews. He certainly didn't eat their food. And so these men say, well, we've had our boss send us over here to get you. Meanwhile, the Spirit speaks to Peter, and he says, listen to what these men have to say. Is the Spirit teaching Peter? The Spirit's drawing Peter out of his background. Sometimes God has to draw us out of our churchy background to teach us something. So he's drawing Peter out of a lifelong belief in Judaism. God taught them not to eat these things. And now God said, okay, I'm going a different direction. You paying attention? I'm not going this way. Now I'm going this way. And sometimes we miss that. It goes right over our head. But that's not the way the church does it. That's not the way we're supposed to believe. Because we were taught this, this, and this. Sometimes we're standing there like Peter with our bare face hanging out. And we say, I don't get this. I don't understand this. Guess what? If you could ever understand everything God's doing, you'd be God. But you ain't. So sometimes we don't understand what he's doing. The Spirit is teaching Peter. What's he teaching Peter? I'm about to give you an opportunity of a lifetime. I'm about to give you the chance to win the first Gentile convert to Christianity. Don't mess it up, Peter. So Peter listens. And he goes. And Cornelius is converted and his whole family. And they receive the Holy Spirit. Gentiles now can have the Holy Spirit. That sort of threw Peter a little bit. So that all works itself out in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 11. Peter gets back home in Jerusalem and people show up at the door. And they say, wait a minute, we heard about you going in a Gentile's house and talking to these Gentiles. And what's going on here? You went into the house. They criticized him, said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men, and you ate with them. You're not supposed to, the law says you're not supposed to do that. Look at what Peter's answer was. Verse 5, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision, and he explains the vision. He tells them, I got there. And guess what? The Spirit came on Cornelius and his family just like the Spirit came on us. So I knew I was okay. We're sharing the gospel. In fact, he's sharing the gospel when the Spirit comes on them, and he winds up baptizing the whole family, all the people that were there. And so now you come to verse 15 of Acts chapter 11, verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered. Wait a minute, didn't Jesus say to Peter and the others back, we read that in John chapter 14, the Spirit will teach you all things and he will bring to your remembrance everything I have taught you. Do you believe God will do that for you? A lot of Christians say, well, I don't try to win my friends. I don't talk to my neighbors. I just wouldn't know what to say. And he said, well, let me give you these three verses. You could say this, this, and then. And you say, well, I can't remember that. Do you really believe that if you're talking to someone about their eternal soul and their soul is hanging in the balance and you're talking to them about Jesus, you're trying to, that the Spirit's going to abandon you? You'd be surprised. The first time I ever preached, actually I taught a class and then preached. I was a student at White's Ferry Road Preaching School. And they needed a fill-in guy, and I went up to Chickasaw. Everybody knows where Chickasaw is, I guess. Chickasaw, Louisiana, big town, you know. No. And I got there, a little church about half this size. They needed a fill-in preacher. So I taught the teen Bible class. I didn't have a clue what I was talking about as far as I read. They had a little workbook there, and I went through that in about 10 minutes. I didn't have anything else to say. They're staring at me, and I'm staring at them. So I had been in preaching school about a few months now, and all of a sudden, all these stories we've been studying in the Bible just came rolling out. I started talking about Joseph and his coat of many colors, and his brother sold him into slavery, and I was talking about all that, and I remembered that Joseph was a teenager when he got sold into slavery. And I said, how would you guys like your brothers or your family gang up on you and send you off to slavery and so forth? What happened? A spirit saw my need. I didn't know that I was just fat, dumb, and happy. I didn't know what to say. And a spirit kicked in. Then I preached that Sunday, that morning after I finished that class. I didn't know how that was going to go. I had 3.5 pages of notes. I think I went 10 or 15 minutes, maybe, with 3.5 pages of notes. Some of you are saying, that's the good old days when you went 10 or 15 minutes. So it all just came out. See, Jesus said here, the Spirit will teach you, and he'll bring to your remembrance. Had Peter forgotten this? I guess he had, because look at what it says. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. Didn't Jesus promise them they would remember? He promised them the Spirit will be right there with you at your elbow. He's teaching. He's in you. He's helping you. And Peter, boy, talk about a daunting mission to go talk to the first Gentile. And Peter was nervous around these Gentiles. He'd never been around them that much. The Roman army was their enemy, in a sense. These were the oppressors. And he's talking to a Roman army captain and his own family and his servants. And then he's like, I can't think what to say. And then he says, when I started talking to them, the Spirit came on them. Oh, thank God for the Spirit working, because sometimes you get in a tight and you get in a mess and you don't know what to do or what to say. The Spirit just comes along and says, let me help you with this. So while Peter was struggling with what to say, the Spirit came. And notice what he said. I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same, he baptized Cornelius and his family in the Holy Spirit. So he said, if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed that the Lord believed on the Lord, who was I to think I could oppose God? The Spirit taught Peter. And the Spirit gave Peter what to say and reminded him of what Jesus had said. So number one, how does the Spirit help us navigate? He teaches you. Number two, not only does he teach you, he witnesses. You ever hear anybody say, you know, we need to do more witnessing. We need to get out there and witness. We need to witness to people. Well, that's a good idea, but the Spirit's the one in charge of witnessing, isn't he? So in this passage in John chapter 15, verse 26, when the counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father. Jesus still making promises, right? The Spirit will be there. He'll help you. When the counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit's going to do what? Testify about Jesus. What is testify? Have you ever had to testify in court? I had to do that one time. I had a wreck when I was 17 years old, and the guy that hit me, actually it was his fault, he hit me, tore up both cars. He was trying to get out of it because he was about to lose his license. It wasn't his first wreck. And he couldn't see. He had glasses about as thick as the bottom of Coke bottles, you know. And he couldn't see me, and he ran right out in front of him, and tore up both cars. So he was going to fight the ticket. He had to fight the ticket to try to hang on to his license. So he tried to blame me with the wreck. So I had to get up and testify. And the lawyer asked me a bunch of questions, and what did I do? I testified. What did I testify to? What I saw, what I was doing, how fast I was going. Well, I know I wasn't speeding because I was taking mother home from work. So, you know, your mama's in the car, and you're 17, and you don't want to lose your license or lose your car privilege. You don't speed, right? So I know I was going to the speed limit. And the cops said I was, too, because of the marks on the, you know, the skid marks on the road. They said he couldn't have been going more than the speed limit. So I had to testify. What does testify mean? Tell what you know. What's the Holy Spirit doing? Testify. He's been doing it 2,000 years. That's why we got new people coming on board all the time, new believers, because the Spirit's doing that. What's he doing? Let me tell you who Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. He and I and the Father are one. Let me tell you who Jesus is, what he's doing. Here's what he means for your life. The Spirit's testifying. You see that in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, there's a little statement here. And the statement is pretty much that. Acts 5. In Acts 5, you'll find these disciples having to navigate through some tough times. And in verse, they're told they can't preach this anymore. Stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And I'll cut to the chase here, Acts 5, verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." They said, "You can't preach this anymore." And they said, "Hide and watch." You know, because we don't have to obey. We'd rather obey God than you. You're telling us to stop. God's telling us to preach. So we're not going to stop preaching. "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things," they said. "And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God will give to those who obey him." Peter said, "We're testifying." What are they? The word testify, by the way, or witness, is the same word as martyr. We think of martyrs as always dying for the faith. We're all martyrs in the sense that we have taken up our cross and we're following Jesus and we witness, we testify to him, we tell the world about him. He said, "But I'm not used to doing that. Well, you let the Holy Spirit work. He'll show you how. You'll do some of that. He's witnessing all the time, and we're called to be his assistants." Isn't that what Peter said? We're testifying to this Jesus. We're witnesses of Jesus. What? His salvation, his death, his resurrection from the dead. We saw it. We're witnesses. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God will give. To who does he give the Spirit to? Those that obey God. I don't have time, and it's not on the screen here, but Acts 2:38 says basically that, doesn't it? They said, "What do we have to do to get in on this? We're sorry we killed the Messiah. What do we have to do? Because we were under judgment. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Cornelius and his first Gentile convert family received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We live under the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have God's Spirit, and sometimes he witnesses. If Acts chapter 6 and verse 10, you remember Stephen, the first martyr, the first one put to death for preaching? The others had been beaten up some and other things happened to them. But Stephen, we call him the first martyr, Christian martyr, because he was put to death. Notice why he was put to death. Acts 6 verse 10, "They could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke." Stephen was a Spirit-filled, powerful preacher. And the Jews who wanted to stop the message of Jesus, wanted to stop all of this, couldn't stop it because Stephen was so powerful in his preaching, Spirit-filled preaching. And so this says right here that they couldn't stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by which he spoke. So what do we find out? We're being promised. That number two on that list is that the Spirit witnesses through us, and he promises to do that. But Stephen died doing it, you say. Not sure I want to go that far. Where is Stephen now? How long has he been there? 2,000 years in heaven. He wouldn't come back to this place if you ask him to. He did his part. He did his part of the mission. We read about him 2,000 years later. Are you willing to stand in there and say, as the Spirit witnesses to people and testifies about Jesus, I'll do the same thing. I may not be good at it. I've known some people that were not very sophisticated with it, but they just spoke up. And they just said, I'm just a believer here. I'm not a preacher, I'm not an elder, I'm not whatever it is, I like to talk about Jesus. See if it's in your heart. If it's in your heart, we'll do that about anything. Suppose one of your family members, or even you, dying with cancer, and they take you in and they do all the tests and they say it's not gonna happen. You're gonna die. You're gonna die a horrible death, a lot of pain. About all we can do is keep you comfortable. But then you hear about some doctor in some foreign country and online, and you say, wonder if that would work. I'm desperate. I'll try anything. And you go try his cure, and you come back cancer-free. And you say, I had a death sentence, but I'm free of cancer. And I've been checked out by all the doctors around here who said I was going to die, and I have no more cancer. But I'm not going to tell anybody about this. Would you do that? You'd be up here making speeches in front of us, right? Let me tell you about this doctor. I was dying, you know. Why don't we feel that way about Jesus? What has Jesus done for you? Just saved you out of hell, that's all. Kept you from going to be where Satan and his angels are for eternity. They will be in the lake of fire. And then Revelation says the lake of fire was designed for the devil and his angels. That's how much God's going to do to the devil. He's going to put the devil and his angels in that lake of fire, and everybody that follows the devil is going to go. And we were all following the devil because Paul wrote one time, we were all translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. He saved you out of that kingdom of darkness. Are you glad about that? Are you proud about that? Does that matter to you? Do you care about it? You don't have to be a professional preacher. Sometimes that gets in the way. I go talk to people about Jesus. They expect me to. You're paid to do that. Not really, but that's what they think. You go talk to them and they say, that old boy makes sense. Boy, I can see one thing. He ain't the same boy he used to be when I knew him 15 years ago. Something different about him. Something different about him. They notice that, don't they? Let the Spirit witness through you. Here's another promise Jesus made about how the Spirit will help us navigate. Number three, he guides us. He guides us. In John chapter 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. As much as you can handle, as much as you need. Is there anything God does not know? Is there anything the Holy Spirit does not know? Nope. So any problem you have, anything you need to know, any information you need, the Spirit's got it. He will do what? Guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. So the Spirit's listening to the Father, and he's talking to you. Are you listening? He's been listening, so it's my job to listen. Not necessarily these ears on the inside. Listen on the inside. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He'll warn you about things in the future. He'll tell you, now he's talking to the whole church, right? Some people do hear things in their spirit about things that are going to happen. Some of us don't, some of us do, but the whole church does, right? So he says here, he's going to be talking to you. He'll bring me glory to me, Jesus said. He'll bring glory to Jesus by taking from what is mine, Jesus said, making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. All right, how much does the Father know? Everything. How much does Jesus know? Well, he says here that whatever belongs to the Father, he gave it to me. All of it. And then he says that the Spirit will take from what's mine and make it known to you. That tells me that anything you need, any information, anything you need to know, anything God needs for you to know, it's all there. He will guide you. That's what we're talking about, being led by the Spirit. He will guide you. Did he do that for the early disciples? Acts chapter 15. I'm showing you passages out of Acts to say this is what he did. He made the promise, and he kept his promises. Acts chapter 15, watch how the Spirit guides them. Acts chapter 15 is the Jerusalem conference. I know that doesn't ring a bell with everybody, but If you read the Bible, you read the book of Acts, what happened? They came to big crossroads. Who did? The church. I mean, the church, by the time of Acts 15, is thousands of people. And it came to this crossroads. You got a church in Jerusalem that's mostly Jewish. You got a church in Antioch, mostly, evidently, mostly Gentile, or a lot of Gentiles. Church in Antioch said, let's go. Let's preach the gospel to the Roman Empire. Let's go out there and preach the gospel and win Gentiles. That was Paul's mission, wasn't it? He made three mission journeys, mostly based out of Antioch, to go reach Gentiles. So as they're doing that, they bring Gentiles in. Let me put it to you this way. If we go out and we say, you know, we've got a pretty good mission going out here, and we found a place down here that's full of drug addicts, and they got tattoos head to foot, you know, and all of that. And so you bring them in, and you say, well, if y'all want to come into this church, you're going to have to get rid of all your tattoos. You got to have them scrubbed off. You got to get rid of all the rings you wear and all that stuff. You got to look like the rest of us. That's what was going on in this Jerusalem conference. So they're trying to decide this. Well, let's say we grew up Jewish, and all our men, all our baby boys have to be circumcised and have to keep the law. And now we follow Jesus, a Jewish Messiah, who himself was circumcised and kept the law perfectly. And now we're following this Jesus, and all of you apostles are the same thing, Jews and circumcised on the eighth day of your life as a baby boy. And so now you're telling us these Gentiles come in here and they don't have to do any of this. That's just not right. That was a Jerusalem conference. Pharisees, who had become Christians, are saying, you got to have them circumcised. They've got to keep the law if they're going to be a part of this church. So they had this big conference. All the apostles spoke, the ones that were there anyway, and the elders of the church in Jerusalem spoke, and they all put their heads together. And they talked and they talked and they talked. And finally in Acts 15, it's Peter sort of stood up and talked. He said, I was the first one to teach the Gentiles. I think it's fine. They just need to have faith in Jesus. And then when it comes down to verse 22, the apostles and elders and the whole church decided to choose some of their own men, send them to Antioch, back up north, with Paul and Barnabas. So they chose some men and they sent a letter. Notice this letter. They actually sent a letter from the Jerusalem church to the Antioch church, the first email, I guess. And they give it back to Paul and Barnabas, who were working with the church up north, the Antioch church. And so Paul and Barnabas and some other guys from the south are supposed to go up and deliver this letter. And the letter says, the apostles and elders, your brothers, to Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, greetings. We have heard some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends, Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're sending Judas and Silas to confirm this. Verse 28 of Acts 15. What does that say? Are you looking at it? It seemed good. Here's the letter. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. What seemed good? Not to burden you with all these church rules, all these Jewish rules. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. How did they know what the Holy Spirit thought? They must have asked him. He's a he. He can speak. He can speak into your heart. He can guide you. He guided. Jesus promised that the Spirit would guide you. Jesus promised. Now think about these three promises quickly again. Jesus promised what? Number one, that the Spirit will teach us. He's doing it right now if you're listening. Are you listening with your ears or your heart? Are you listening to be fed, to be changed, to be led? If you are, he's leading. He's teaching. Second thing he promised, he would witness to Jesus, and we'd get the privilege of witnessing right along with the Spirit. And the third one is, he guides. Did he guide this church that I just read about? Jerusalem church, Acts 15. Of course he did. The Spirit was right there in that meeting, and he got his point across. He taught them and he led them and he guided them to say, don't worry about these Old Testament rules. God's doing a new thing now. So I'm telling you, just go up there and love those people and win as many as you can. The Spirit, he said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Wow. Last slide. Remember what Jesus said in John 14? And I will ask the Father. Does Jesus pray for us? All the time. I will ask the Father, what will he do? He'll give you another counselor. Since Jesus is in heaven, probably kind of busy, he sent another Jesus, in a sense. He sent not the Son, but the Spirit, who now is here. Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. It'll be better for you if the Spirit comes. Why? Because the Spirit can be in every believer all over the world. Jesus could only be in one place at a time, in that physical body he had. Now the Spirit's everywhere. Are you ready for the Spirit to lead us? I will ask the Father, he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. Spirit of truth. Are you ready for the Spirit to lead you this week and guide you this week and mentor you and witness to people around you and give you ideas and give you, he'll even give you good ideas about other things in life. If you say, Lord, I need to make more money so I can give more money. He'll say, well, I'll show you how. Is he interested in things like that? Is he interested in anything that gets the gospel out there, right? So be prepared to be led by the Spirit this week. Father, thank you that you're still doing that. That you're still in the leading business, that your Spirit is still working with this church. We are your family, and you care about us, and you're leading us in many, many ways. And we thank you for your Spirit being with us right now so that he is leading us in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with us, if you will, and take your songbook. And if you have a special need, I am up here for you to come talk to if you need to.